Romans chapter 1. Sermons by Paul Sejong. Sermon 2. There must be a desire for spreading the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just shall live by faith." Spring has come. Perhaps because it is spring, my mind feels languid yet somewhat restless. Still, in a little while, new sprouts will bud, all things will come alive, and the summer of deep green shade will swiftly approach our side. While always taking care of your health, I hope you live the remaining life permitted by God fruitfully and preciously. The Apostle Paul, who devoted his entire life to the gospel. The Apostle Paul revealed himself as a servant of God called to be an apostle in all his epistles, including Romans. He recognized himself as a servant sent to this world by God to preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The Apostle Paul's heart always remained in the gospel. He lived his entire life harboring an earnest desire of how he could preach this gospel to the whole world. He passed away after dedicating his life solely for the salvation of other people's souls. His end was a death sentence by Roman law. Although it was not a guillotine, the Roman method of execution at the time was to place the prisoner on a block of wood and execute them by striking their neck with an axe. When writing 1 and 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul intuited the fact that he would soon be executed like that. Nevertheless, with the firm faith that I have finished the race, and now the crown of righteousness is laid up for me, he wrote a letter to Timothy and entrusted his faith, and earnestly requesting all the churches to keep the faith and preach the gospel to the whole world, he ended his life in that way. Paul's earnest heart toward Rome. The Apostle Paul's heart was always in the gospel. He earnestly wanted to preach the gospel to the whole world, and especially in Romans, he poured all his strength into the work of preaching the gospel to Rome. Numerous races of people were living together in Rome, and the Apostle Paul hoped that they too would know the salvation he had received and the true peace he came to enjoy because of that salvation. And he sincerely wanted them to equally be within that salvation and peace. Harboring such a heart, he wrote a letter to Rome, and finally, he went to Rome in person and fulfilled his mission for the gospel there as well. The Apostle Paul was never ashamed of the gospel. No matter who he met, he did not stop the work of preaching the gospel, and he lived a life unashamed of the gospel throughout his entire life. A person who was an outstanding scholar but held on to only the gospel. The Apostle Paul was truly an amazing person. He was a person who learned the highest level of academics in the Jewish society of that time, studied the books of the law deeply, and was a figure worthy of becoming a leader religiously. Even looking from a worldly standard, his academic depth is truly surprising. It was to the extent that various modern scholars, after reading the Pauline epistles, said that if the Apostle Paul were alive in this era, he would be a figure worthy of receiving multiple doctoral degrees. To that extent, the Apostle Paul was an outstanding and excellent person even from a worldly perspective. However, such an Apostle Paul wanted to testify to the gospel of the water and the Spirit wherever he went, and he considered that gospel more precious than anything else. He never shrank back or hesitated, stepping back without faith in front of the gospel. He confessed like this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Like this, the Apostle Paul already confessed by putting all his heart into the short greeting and introduction from Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 17. Continuing from verse 18, the Apostle Paul enters into more specific contents. He deals with the problem of sin and talks about what the advantage of the Jew is, what true faith is, what salvation obtained by faith is, and also what dying together and living together with Christ and living a righteous life together with Him is. Chapter 7 contains contents about the law. Chapter 8 about the assurance of faith that there is absolutely no condemnation. And chapter 9 contains Paul's earnest heart toward his own people. However, within the words read in the introduction, we can already fully know what the Apostle Paul's heart is like. The gospel evangelist who ran toward the whole world. The Apostle Paul earnestly wanted to preach the gospel to all the people in Rome. The regions where he preached the gospel were truly extensive. Even to the distant region called Macedonia today, the Apostle Paul went in person from Israel and went around preaching the gospel. Since there were no airplanes at that time, he moved by taking a boat or walking in person. He literally roamed a tremendously large number of places. Furthermore, the Apostle Paul did not even marry, and as a single person, went around with his disciples and preached the gospel like that. There was a clear reason why the Apostle Paul wanted to preach the gospel to Rome so much. At that time, numerous races were mingling and living together in Rome, and it was an era when everything in the whole world was developing centered on Rome, to the extent that the saying, "All roads lead to Rome," came out. Because of that, while writing Romans, the Apostle Paul harbored a desire to go to Rome and preach the gospel. This was because he had the conviction that if he preached the gospel in Rome, all people of the whole world would hear the gospel, and they too would receive the exact same salvation as the salvation he had received. Just as the Apostle Paul did, today we also harbor the same heart and preach the gospel. Therefore, we preach the gospel through documents, audio, and video, and we carefully make books one by one. Because he knew that if the gospel was preached to Rome, the gospel would be propagated to the whole world, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to Rome as if he were making a book to preach the gospel. Romans is a long letter consisting of 16 chapters, and throughout its entirety, he recorded specifically and without omission about the gospel, about the righteousness of God, about the sin of human beings, about the sin of the Jews and the sin of the Gentiles, and about the righteousness that comes by faith. Because he preached the gospel through a document like this, today we have become able to know the gospel so specifically through that document. If you know Romans, you come to know the core of the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached. And furthermore, it can be said that you know the entire Bible. The righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. It is written, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The righteousness of God spoken of here is different from the right and wrong of human beings. The righteousness of God, that is, that righteous work by which God saved us, is exactly the baptism that Jesus received from John and the blood he shed on the cross. God himself became a human being, came to this earth, and by receiving baptism, he took charge of all the sins of humanity. And carrying those sins, he went to the cross, was crucified and judged on our behalf, and saved us by resurrecting from death. This is exactly the righteousness of God. The method by which God saved us is that God himself came to this earth as a human being. He borrowed the body of a virgin and came to this world in the exact same human form as us. His name is exactly Jesus. Jesus, who is the Savior, came to this earth, and by receiving the baptism given by John, he had all the sins of humanity transferred onto his own body, and by hanging on the cross, he received the judgment of sin for us, resurrected from death, and saved us who believe. This gospel word of the water and the Spirit is exactly the salvation that God gave us. In order to save us from sin, God received baptism from John, was crucified and shed blood, resurrected from death, and became our Savior, who is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. We become those who have obtained salvation by believing in our hearts that work of salvation that saved us from the sins of the world. Because the work of God saving us from sin is clear, if we believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit in our hearts, we become righteous people. As it is written, "The just shall live by faith." Romans chapter 1, verse 17. This word means that the one who has become a righteous person lives by faith. Living by faith means that the one who has received the removal of sins lives by the faith that believes the Word of God. It means being saved by that faith which believes the word of the truth of salvation, that God perfectly saved me through the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and living by that faith. It means living by the faith that believes that gospel word of the water and the Spirit which God spoke, and believes that one has become God's people. Although this word is short, within this one verse of Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the gospel, life, faith, God's love, and God's salvation, all these things are implicitly contained. What the Apostle Paul wanted to deliver to the people in Rome was exactly this. Just as he himself was saved from all sins by believing Jesus' gospel word of the water and the Spirit, he wanted to equally share that salvation he received, that peace he received, and that heavenly blessing he received with the people in Rome as well. Those who are called to belong to Christ. The Apostle Paul clearly stated that those who have received salvation by believing in Jesus Christ now belong to Christ. It is written in Romans chapter 1, verse 6, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. It means that those who have received Christ's calling and become Christ's, that is, those who believe in Jesus Christ, who received baptism from John, hung on the cross and died, and resurrected as their Savior, have now become Christ's. It means they have become Christ's. They have become God's. Whose are you? You have exactly become Jesus Christ's and have become God's servants. There was a time in the past for me as well when my heart was very weary. Like the steward in the Gospel of Luke, I had no strength to dig the ground and was ashamed to beg. There was a time when my heart was so exhausted and struggling that I truly did not know what to do. During early morning prayer time, while reading the Bible, doing my prayer halfway, and being lost in thought in a half-asleep and half-awake state, the word I read at that time was exactly this word. While reading straight down through Romans chapter 1, the place where I suddenly came to my senses was exactly Romans chapter 1, verse 6, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. I had become a person who believed the fact that Jesus received baptism from John, shed blood on the cross, and resurrected from death to become our Savior. But I had not clearly thought as far as the fact that I myself had become Christ's. I finally came to know the fact that I had become Christ's at that time. Although I was a person who believed the gospel word of Jesus Christ's righteousness, I did not have much sense of belonging that I had become Christ's. I was just living, preaching the gospel of the water and the Spirit, satisfied with having received salvation from my sins. However, at that time when I was extremely struggling and exhausted, while reading the Bible, this word, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, began to strongly captivate my heart. As that word strongly took hold of my heart, a faith flooded in. Since I have become Christ's, what would I fear while living in this world? If I am Christ's, wouldn't Christ himself take responsibility for me? From that time on, a truly bold faith took place in my heart. No matter what others say about me, no matter what circumstances I am placed in, I am Christ's. Who would dare to treat what is Christ's carelessly? Even if someone slanders me, since I am Christ's, what does that have to do with me? As my heart became filled with this word of God of truth, the faith that had become weak due to my inadequacies came to be established robustly. The word of God allowed those who believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit to have the faith that believes the true word of God. It is that God takes responsibility for my everything. With this kind of faith, whether I live or die, in whatever circumstances I am in, I came to be able to live with the faith that I am a person who is in Christ, and as Christ's, I can please only the Lord. The Apostle Paul also firmly believed that he himself had become Christ's, and he wrote letters to God's people putting that faith into them. The Apostle Paul is saying that not only he himself became Christ's, but all those who have received the removal of sins in their hearts, by believing the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, have become Christ's. It means that all the saints are Christ's and have become Christ's servants. The Apostle Paul referred to himself and said he was one who received the calling as an apostle and was chosen for the gospel. Here, the word apostle means one who is sent. It means that the Apostle Paul is a person who was sent into this world by God. He introduced himself as God's servant who was sent by God and works for God's gospel. Down to Romans 1 and 2 Corinthians, Colossians, and 1 and 2 Timothy, in all his epistles, he was consistently revealing that as an apostle chosen through Jesus Christ, he is God's servant sent by God to preach the gospel to the whole world on this earth. You and I are also Christ's. Everyone, you and I must also live harboring Jesus Christ and His Word in our hearts. We must live as God's servants by believing the Word that I am Christ's, the Word that I am God's. While living on this earth, there are times when our sense of belonging becomes faint. We are not people who belong to this world, and although we have received salvation from our sins, there are such times when we feel somewhat in between. However, you and I are Christ's people, and those who have become Christ's. When we make this sense of belonging of faith clear, our faith becomes full. And I tell you that while you and I live on this earth, we must live as those who preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit to the whole world. Do not lose the purpose of life. As we live, there are times when we lose the purpose of life. There are times when we do not know why I live, what I must live for on this earth after receiving salvation, and what that goal is. Although we have received salvation from our sins, we must not live such a life that drifts as the wind blows like a shipwrecked boat. Especially at such times, I hope you think about whose you are. And we must think about what God told us to live for on this earth. The Apostle Paul introduced himself as one who was chosen as an apostle and sent to preach the gospel to the whole world, believed so, and went to the Lord's kingdom after living like that. If so, you and I must also live not a life living as the wind blows like a boat without a sail, or living because we cannot die, but with a clear purpose of faith. What is it that we must hope and desire? It is that we must live harboring exactly that heart, the heart that earnestly hopes that the people of the whole world will also receive the gospel word of the water and the Spirit that we received, and the salvation that we received. Just as the Apostle Paul lived with a purpose in preaching the gospel, we must also live with that heart. How did we live today? In this spring, a heat haze rises up in clusters, but it is not only the heat haze that rises. It is a capricious weather going back and forth between extremes, where it is hot if we put on outer clothes and cold if we take them off, and it becomes warm again even after being bitter and chilly. On such spring days, we lived today, lived yesterday, and lived the day before yesterday. We have continued to live for a long, long time. But would it be okay if we just live however it goes, without properly setting the goal and direction of life? Did you not feel bored while living today? Sometimes, because our nerves become sharp, we blame the weather for no reason. We are living like that, blaming the weather, blaming the environment, and even hating the other person, without any particular reason, saying, "Why is it so gloomy? Why is it neither warm, nor hot, nor cold?" When we look into it, neither you nor I have any reason to do so to the other person. There is actually no basis to say this and that about the other person. That person and I myself are all equally just lacking people. The reason we have no fun and cannot feel the taste of life as we live is because we have not harbored the hope in our hearts that the people of the whole world will receive the salvation from sins that we received. Those who have hope in preaching the gospel live differently. However, if we have hope in preaching the gospel, what would happen? Even if the weather is chilly and life itself is lukewarm and not joyful, if we harbor in our hearts that all people in the whole world will receive the gospel of the water and the Spirit that we received in their hearts and be saved, we naturally come to incline our hearts and labor on what we must do for the removal of sins of those souls. By doing so, we come to live a purposeful life today as well. We come to live not a fleeting life, but a purposeful life for the salvation of souls. Because we come to live this kind of life, even if our flesh is weary and the environment is not good, we can live having the hope of faith in our hearts, while preaching and serving the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Although we are lacking, we incline our hearts and come to offer our own everything to that work. We become those who want all people to receive the salvation we received, and become those who live uniting with God's church. By living like that, we come to live a life that has a goal of life. Just as the Apostle Paul said to all the people in Rome, "I long to impart to you the spiritual grace I received," it was exactly that heart wanting you to equally receive the salvation we received. Because the Apostle Paul lived harboring exactly that hope until the day he died, until the day he went before God, he held on to that purpose without wavering and lived a lively life to achieve that purpose. Everyone, you and I, God's male and female servants across the country, and all the saints must also live having this kind of heart. We must live harboring this kind of hope. Let us live with a passion for the gospel. Other than us preaching the gospel and having received salvation before the Lord, there is nothing else worth investing ourselves in. It means we must live harboring a heart that earnestly wants all people in the whole world to receive the same salvation as the salvation we received. Therefore, we make literature, pray to serve the overseas preaching of the gospel, and pray wanting them to receive the salvation you received domestically as well. The methods by which we preach the gospel are also truly diverse. We preach through literature, through audio, and also through video. It is the time for us to step forward in prayer, expecting God's work through the literature ministry. When we offer prayers, we pray for the problems that have confronted our reality, and we pray always harboring the gospel of the water and the Spirit in our hearts. In fact, the work we do itself is exactly prayer. It is not just doing it with our mouths, but living for that work is exactly prayer. We might wonder when the gospel of the water and the Spirit will ever be fully preached to the whole world, but we have actually preached the gospel a great deal. We are preaching the gospel to Europe, America, Africa, Russia, and China, to the whole world. The single hope desiring all people to be saved from sins. I hope that all people will equally receive that salvation you received, that is, the salvation where Jesus came to this earth, was born, took on the sins of the world by being baptized by John at the age of 30, received the judgment for our sins by being crucified, and resurrected from death, allowing believers to attain salvation. Therefore, we are making books. We can truly know how the Apostle Paul's heart was through the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul wanted all people to receive the removal of sins by believing the gospel word of the water and the Spirit exactly like himself. I earnestly want you, myself, all people in the whole world, all people in our country, the families of the saints, and all souls to equally attain salvation. We truly live with that hope of salvation. While we live on this earth, we seek the pleasures of the flesh and seek joy and want to live a satisfied life on this earth. But what is it that our souls truly want deep down in our hearts? Just as you received salvation by believing in the water and blood of Jesus Christ, it is desiring that all people will all be saved like that. The reason your soul wants it is because the Holy Spirit is within your heart. The Holy Spirit wants to preach the gospel to all people and wants the gospel to be preached. I want all people to receive the salvation we received, a salvation with nothing added or subtracted, exactly like us. Neither more nor less. I just want them to receive salvation at the very least. Even if they live somewhat lacking, that heart, that desire, that earnest passion, wishing them to receive salvation at the very least, is within us. Because the Holy Spirit is within your heart, even if you are not conscious of it. The Holy Spirit in your heart has already placed within you that heart desiring all people to equally receive the salvation you received. Let us live holding on to this passion. Even if your life and mine is truly hard and tiring, I hope you harbor hope in your heart while living diligently by faith. I hope you live with that earnest passion and hope wanting all people in the whole world who have not yet been saved to equally receive that salvation you individually received. The word I want to give you is exactly this. It is the same for me and the same for you. I wish we could live better and live more joyfully on this earth. I wish we could live joyfully with truly all our hearts. Sometimes there are times when I also feel like laying everything down for a moment and resting leisurely in nature. However, what I unchangingly hope for in my heart is that you and I equally hope for all people to attain salvation. That is my lifelong desire and my lifelong earnest passion. It is only this one thing. It is that all people receive all salvation from sins by believing the gospel of the water and the Spirit exactly like me, and all go to heaven. That one thing, at least, is unchanging. I hope it all becomes like that. And while living on this earth, I go forward living with this hope. Let you and I also go forward living together with this hope. Everyone, even if life is exhausting, I hope you live with this purpose. When a person has no purpose, they come to live the most meaningless and uninteresting life. However, if there is a passion, because one runs toward that passion, it is joyful, overflows with vitality, and gives strength. When one loses passion, a person loses strength and becomes limp. We who have received the removal of sins must live with the passion, hoping that all people will receive salvation exactly like us. We must advance progressively toward that passion. And when that passion is fulfilled, we must be glad and our hearts must be joyful. Fleshly desires leave nothing in the heart even when filled, but spiritual passion practically remains in the heart when fulfilled. I hope that the work of many souls being saved from sins and coming to serve God through you will be fulfilled. Let us all work with our purpose set on preaching the gospel. Let us live with this passion. Living harboring this passion today and tomorrow, while living on this earth, let us live diligently and live by faith so that we receive many blessings, eat many delicious things, and go after living joyfully within the gospel. I have this kind of passion, and it is my heart hoping that you also live together with the exact same passion. Hallelujah.